We're continuing in our studies called Pictures of the Church. We're on week number 11 of our study. And if you were here last week, we looked at the picture of a building. And we saw the importance of this building. We're called a building, the body of Christ. How important it is to have the right foundation. And we saw that that foundation was the very word of God, the word of the apostles and the words of the prophets. We also saw how Satan seeks to weaken our building, or his desire is to see that our building would crumble a little bit. And so it's important that we're devoted to things like the word of God and prayer and fellowship and breaking of bread, as the early church was devoted to those things as well. Well, today the focus is going to be on a particular building, and that building is the temple. If you grab your Bibles, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19 through 22, we read this passage last week, but we focused on the building part. Today, we're going to focus on the temple part. It's as if the Apostle Paul is saying to the believers, hey, you guys are a building, but understand this, it's not just any old building. You guys are actually a temple. This is how he portrays the church, again in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Paul says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Well, what can we learn from this picture of the temple? Well, first, we want to lay a little groundwork. And as we think about who was writing this here, obviously the Spirit was inspiring the Apostle Paul here. But Paul, though, yes, he was a Christian writing to believers, he also had a Jewish background. And as a Jew, the temple was huge. The temple was a significant part of their life and their worship. How so? How did the average Jew view the temple? Well, there are so many details we could look at it when we look at the temple. But if you could narrow it down to one statement, you could put it this way. For the Jew, in their mind, when they thought of the temple, they were thinking that this is the place where God dwells. The place where God dwells. This is where we're going to go to seek God. And often God would manifest his presence in a very powerful way in the temple. And as many of you know, as you read your Old Testament, this temple, this permanent building, did not always exist for the people of Israel, did it? When we look at Israel wandering through the wilderness in the 40 years there in the desert, did they have a permanent building? Answer, no, they didn't. They had a portable tent that they would put up. They would follow God, a cloud by day and fire by night. And when God says, okay, this is where we're going to set up camp, they would stop, put all their tents up, and they would make the tabernacle, this portable tent, and that's where they would worship. Even in the days of Joshua, as Joshua would lead the people of Israel to the promised land, they did not have a permanent building, a permanent temple to worship in. It was not until the days of David, when David had it in his heart to build a temple. And so we actually see this in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 17. We see that David wanted to build this temple, and so God said, okay, David, fine. Let's look at that. 1 Chronicles 17, 1 through 4. It says, after David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, here I am living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under a tent. Nathan replied to David, whatever you have in mind, do it. For God is with you. That night, the word of God came to Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. You are not the one to build me a house to dwell in. So God says to David, okay, David, fine, you want to build a temple? Great, but you're not going to be the man. You're not going to be the one who would build the temple. Tell me, church, who would be the one who would build the temple? Solomon. Very good. Solomon would be the one who would build that temple. We find also as we continue in 1 Chronicles 17, let's jump down to verses 11 and 12 as Nathan continues to talk to David. And he says this to David, when your days are over and you go to be with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build the house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. We see that son would be referring there to Solomon. Although this scripture has an even greater fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ, because Jesus would be that ultimate son of David with a capital S, who would reign on his throne forever and ever, who would be building a house for the people of God in glory. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, a house with many rooms. Jesus is really the great ultimate son of David, what this prophecy is really fulfilled in. But for the time being, for Israel, in this time of history, in the days of Solomon, this was fulfilled through Solomon as he would oversee the building of the temple. David would get the ball rolling. David would provide many workers and much timber and stone for the temple, but it would be Solomon who would oversee that building. So again, when we think about the Jewish mindset, the temple was a place where they would come and seek the living God. Though they knew that a temple could really not contain God, as Solomon would say, even the highest heavens cannot contain God, this would be a place where they would come to meet with God. I want you to imagine for a moment that you are living in the days of Solomon. Pretend you're back there, and you're an Israelite, and Solomon had just completed the temple. I want you to imagine this, that the temple is at the location of Uncle G's right now. That's where the temple is, and this building here is your home. Now, if I'm the father, if this is all, you guys are all my kids, I've got a real big family, an extended family, and I say, okay, people, we're going to pray. What would we do? Well, one thing we would do is we would all turn and we would all face toward Uncle G's or toward the temple. Why? Because in the Jewish mindset, this is how they thought. I'm going to direct my thoughts, my prayers toward that holy place, that the name of God, the place of God. And though God actually dwells in heaven, his thoughts are going to come down to the temple so that our thoughts are going to intersect at that temple. And it's going to be from the temple that God is going to hear us. This was the mindset of the Jewish person when they thought about the temple. It was the very presence of God. And so they longed. It was such a special place. Well, now fast forward 1,000 years to the Apostle Paul, who's writing to the Ephesians. And this is what he says. It's so beautiful to the believers. Let me read that again out of Ephesians chapter 2. He says, in him, the whole building, in Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And then he says this sweet thing here, in him, you too, believer, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. What was Paul conveying to the church? Hey, you guys are now a temple. And God dwells in you. God's presence can be found within you. No longer is there one central building that people will flock to encounter God. But now every believer has God dwelling within them through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. You are a walking temple is what Paul would tell the church. Or elsewhere, as he says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, how can we apply these truths to our lives today? Well, Three things I want us to consider. And first off is this, is that God is with us. God is with us. If you have come to put your faith in Jesus Christ and you're saved by the grace of God, then guess what? God dwells within you. God lives within you. And this may be something that we don't think about too often, do we? We may always think that God's out there a little bit. But God says, no, I'm in here. If you've come to Christ, Jesus says this to his disciples as we look at John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said to them, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. This counselor or this comforter or helper that Jesus is talking about here is the Holy Spirit. Jesus would go on to say in that passage that I will not leave you as orphans. I'm gonna be with you. What a beautiful promise that Jesus makes to his disciples, and really it's also can be applied to you and I today who are in Christ. And though there is a mystery to it, isn't it? When I think about a holy God dwelling in me, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit living in me, though I am a sinful man, there's a mystery to that. When I think about how could you dwell in me, God? My heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, and you choose to dwell in me. But that's a reality for the believer. God dwells within us. When Jesus says to his disciples, I'm going to give you another counselor, here's what he means. Hey guys, everything you've seen in me, while you walked with me these past 3 years, when you saw my compassion, when you saw my love and my grace, when you saw my zeal for holiness, everything that you saw in me, that's what the Holy Spirit is going to be to you. But here's the kicker. You see, I'm going to go away and I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father with a resurrected body. But the Holy Spirit is going to be present in your lives. That means, hey, Thomas, when you're out in India preaching the gospel, and John, when you're on the island of Patmos, guess what? The Holy Spirit will be present in both of you at the same time, though you're miles apart. Jesus would actually say it's a good thing that I go away, because when I go away, I can send the Spirit to be within every single believer. And what an awesome, awesome thing that is when we think about that in our lives. The Holy Spirit dwells in our bodies, in these temples. He is always with us. We have the promise that he will be with us forever, the promise that he will never, ever leave us or forsake us. Let me ask you, does this truth that God is with you, does that permeate your mind? Does it permeate your thinking? As I said, I think often we don't think about it enough. I know I don't think about it enough. And if it doesn't permeate your thinking, it needs to. It needs to permeate my thinking as well. Why? Because when I am tempted, or I feel that maybe I'm all alone, maybe God has abandoned me, maybe God has forsaken me, it's then that I need to be reminded, no, God has promised that he'll never leave me. He lives inside of me. When I feel abandoned, or when I'm discouraged and downcast and I'm tempted to give in to despair, it's then that I need to say, oh no, I have a great comforter who lives in me. When I feel lost and don't know which way to turn, when I'm tempted to run away and just hide under my blankets, I ought to say, no, don't go there, because I have a great counselor who dwells within me. Oh, child of God, I pray that you would continually remind yourself of this awesome truth that God is in me. And you can say that for yourself, God is in me as well. Number two, being a temple means this, that we are to live holy lives. When Paul talks about being a temple, he actually adds that word in Ephesians 2, he says, holy temple. And you may say, well, isn't the temple supposed to be holy? Well, yes, it was supposed to be holy, but as you read your Old Testament, you find that it wasn't always holy, was it? Sometimes it was unholy. Sometimes it was an abomination to God, the things that took place in the temple. Many people viewed the temple as just kind of like a magic place that they could think about. And maybe, you know, like a lot of people may wear a cross around their neck and they think they can just live any way they want as long as they have this cross on their neck. Well, many Jewish people thought that way about the temple. We'll do what we want, but we'll just say, hey, that's the temple of the Lord. That's the temple of the Lord. And there was unholy things that took place in the hearts of the people. And so Paul wanted the believers to know that they were called to live holy lives, just that like that temple was supposed to be holy. Well, let me ask you, is your temple holy?
This is Pastor.
That's good, Johnny. Is it holy? Many people know that our bodies are a temple. In fact, I've heard many even non-Christians say, oh yeah, that's right, the body's a temple. I know that one. And that's a Bible verse. Paul says that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. But let me ask you this. When Paul wrote that, was he implying this, that you should not smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, eat, what is it, GMO foods, or just stay away from hot dogs? Was Paul saying you need to go to the gym 3 hours a day so that you can have six-pack abs and 0 or 1% body fat, or whatever, however low you can get on your body fat? I don't know. Is that what Paul was saying when he wrote those words? Answer, no. Now, before anybody freaks out, let me just say that I'm not condoning unhealthy living or unhealthy lifestyles. In fact, even in the scriptures, we find Paul telling Timothy what? Hey, Timmy, hey, you know what? That exercise stuff, that's got some value. There's some value to that. So take care of your physical body. That's a good thing. Don't abuse your body. It's a gift of God. But he says, if you really want to focus on something, focus on the spiritual part. He said, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of holy living. That's what you really want to focus on. If you're spending 3 hours at the gym and no time reading your Bible, things are out of whack. Do it the other way. Spend 3 hours reading your Bible and maybe, you know, an hour at the gym. That's fine. Don't get it all out of whack. The point that Paul is making when he says your body is a temple is simply this, that your body is a shell. Just like the temple for Israel was a shell that held the presence of God. So to your body's just a shell where God abides. God lives in you as a believer, which means that the Holy Spirit is present with you all of the time. He is with you wherever you go and whatever you do. So think about that the next time you do something unholy. That means that when we do something unholy, the Holy Spirit does not rejoice. When I gossip or slander, the Holy Spirit's not rejoicing with me at that moment. When I get caught up in anything that is unholy or unpleasing to God, the Holy Spirit is right there, and you could say he's a part of that, but he's not pleased, he's actually grieved. If I have unforgiveness or bitterness in my heart, that's how I grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not rejoice when we become engaged in any kind of immorality at all. And that's the point that Paul is making when he says to the church, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's read that passage where we find that quote from Paul. Find it in 1 Corinthians. Now I can say Corinthians. Every time I say read Chronicles, I want to say Corinthians. But it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 15 through 20. Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body, for it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. What's the context of our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit? Paul says, flee sexual immorality. Again, not just prostitution, but adultery, fornication, pornography, lewd sexual comments, sexual impure thoughts that we have, lust that we have in our minds. All these defile our temple. They defile our body. And we need to understand that the Spirit is within us. We need to honor God with our bodies, with what we do, what we say, how we think. There's so much more we could say about holy living, but let's move on to number three. Number three is that being a temple is also a picture of strength. We think about Israel, when they thought about the temple, yes, it was symbolic of the presence of God, but also it was a place of refuge. It was a fortress. It was a place where they could go and find spiritual strength. And so too, the Holy Spirit who lives in each believer is there to provide spiritual strength. If you think the sole purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life is simply to give you goosebumps, you're mistaken. If you think the sole purpose of the Holy Spirit is simply to satisfy all your selfish desires, you're mistaken. If you think the purpose of the Holy Spirit is just to give you a trouble-free, pain-free life, you are gravely mistaken. Because the very purpose of the Holy Spirit is to give us strength in times of difficulty and adversity. Listen to the relationship that the Apostle Paul had with the Holy Spirit. Our final scripture today will come from Acts 20. Verses 22 and 23, Paul says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." Here, the Spirit revealed to Paul that his life was going to be difficult. But what we also know is that it would be the same Spirit who would strengthen Paul to be obedient, to do the things, to carry the gospel, even though he might be facing death. There's strength in the Spirit, and I pray that for we who are living in the year 2019, that we would not forget that one of the reasons God has deposited his Spirit into our lives is to give us spiritual strength. How many of you get weary? You're lying. Raise your hand. How many of you get weary, right? We all get spiritually weary. And it's the Spirit who can empower us and strengthen us to keep on keeping on. When we just want to quit, when we want to give up, throw in the towel, we just want to stay home or avoid the church or avoid believers and just isolate ourselves. It's the Spirit who says, oh no, not a good idea, not a good idea. Be devoted to the fellowship, be devoted to the Word. Keep on keeping on. Are you listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart, in your life, if you're a believer? Josh's song was about that today. Are you listening? Or has pride and selfishness gotten in the way so you can't even hear the Spirit of God in your heart? As we close today, One thing I want to point out is that Paul here in Ephesians, he was writing to the church. He was writing to believers, those who had repented of their sins and embraced Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. They were committed to following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he was writing to. They had the Spirit living within them. But the Bible also says this, that not every human being has the Holy Spirit in them. Paul would say this in Romans, that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, referring to the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to Christ. And you may say, well, how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit within me? Well, here's a good litmus test. Do I have any desires for holiness? Do I want to live more holy and pleasing to God, or I just want to live to please myself? If I only want to live to please myself and there's no desires for holiness, then there's a real good possibility that there's no Holy Spirit within us. Do you ever notice that the Spirit's called holy? Holy Spirit. Do you have desires for holiness, desires to please God? If you say, I can't find any, then I'd say repent, turn to Christ today. Bow your knees to the Lord Jesus who left glory, came down as a man, humbled himself, became obedient, even to death on a cross, that he would bear our punishment and guilt and shame upon that rugged cross for us. God loves us. He died for us. And he says, I want you to follow me and to believe in me. Do you believe in Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your incredible promise that for all those who have believed the gospel, the word of truth, that you plant the Holy Spirit within our hearts, within our lives. It's a deposit guaranteeing that our inheritance is with you. We look forward to what's to come, and we know that's what's to come because of the Spirit within us. Father, I pray that we would not grieve the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us not to be selfish and self-consumed. Help us not to block off our ears to what the Spirit is saying to us on a daily basis, to be obedient to you. God, help us to be followers of Christ, and we know that we can do it through the power of your Spirit who dwells within us. Thank you, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.